This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward, giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start, because where you start matters.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's the best basketball party anywhere.
Man, reading that piece, I'm like, God, I think I like John Shire. Man, I don't hate the coach of Duke anymore. This is so weird.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at Alen A Sportsbook, George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a Fan Madness edition of Dirt and Sprague.
We need to find something out about John Shire that's hateable. We need a deep investigation into this guy. He played at Duke.
Hurt and missing work? Insurance companies acting like jerks? Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at warrenallen.com. Alen A, make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, and Cinderella run mean more at Alen A Sportsbook. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Video Only, where you always get the best deals on top-rated brands of TVs and home theater. And by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Enjoy responsibly. Fan Madness from Alen A on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two, Dirt and Sprague live on a Friday morning edition, live at Alen A, the Stadium Sportsbook, hanging out, rip-roaring day two NCAA tournament. Everybody's at the kiosks making their bets. That's the one thing I think about as an Oregonian. Like, it's nice to drive up the highway and be here. It's great to be here. But just having one of those, well, not one, but, you know, having one in whatever stadium, whether it's Providence or the Moda.
Right, just a kiosk you go put a bet down in.
I mean, live betting at halftime of the Blazer game, what's that line looking like? But we are live out at Alen A for Fan Madness yet again. Of course, brought to you by George McCoy, Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law, and our great friends at Coors Light and Video Only. I want to remind you guys, if you come out here, the Stadium Sports Bar has Coors Lights buckets and special Coors Lights merch available while supplies last.
Look at that. You can get some Coors Light merch. You got your bets. You're ready to go. Hanging out at the sports book. It's going to be awesome, man. Day two of the tournament, hopefully a little bit better than day one. Day one, a little bit of a dud. Day two, we're hoping, gets a little more exciting and interesting as the afternoon goes on.
I think I've decided what table I'm going to put the 20 down.
I can't wait. Well, we can go live on Instagram, or maybe I'll take a video for Twitter. We'll see how quickly this goes. Walk over there, put your 20 bucks down. We'll see if we win a hand of blackjack, and then walk over.
It'd be really cool if we would have brought a microphone that was mobile, and I could just go do it in the middle of a segment and see, like, hey, I've got 16. Do I hit or stay?
That's honestly the thing that we probably need most. I'm hoping to be back here again next year for Fan Madness, and not necessarily so much for our show.
Right, right.
But for the other shows to have the ability, because all the games are going on while they're on the air.
Yeah.
And so they end up kind of, and we've been in that spot when we were 12-3. You end up doing like live play-by-play during games.
Basically what it turns into, yes.
Like, oh my God, Clemson made a shot. They're down by two, right? So you end up kind of tracking. Having a mobile microphone to be able to walk over to the kiosk in the middle of a segment and place a live bet while you're still doing the segment.
What do I pick?
Hey guys, I got a live line here, -3.5. How do we feel about that? You put your ticket in, like, that would be great content.
Oh, come on, hang out today if you need somewhere to hang out. Alen A, the Stadium Sportsbook. Resort and casinos, where we're hanging out for Fan Madness. We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program.
We do.
Steph Curry broke his butt last night.
Now, having a broken butt's not a good thing.
It's not great.
That's not what you want right before the playoffs start.
I'm not trying to belittle the injury.
it seems like you are. It seems like you downplayed a broken
butt. The way he went down, it just didn't look like the kind of injury that he... It almost looked like he broke his back the way he reacted to it. And I was like, oh. Didn't look like... He didn't land on his back.
No.
Spinal! Yeah. So we'll get to some NBA dealings as well, but we will start the second hour there. Yesterday, the Portland Trailblazers announced that Robert Williams is going to have knee surgery.
Yes.
I don't know why you're clapping. He'll be out 4 to 6 weeks.
I mean, when you can trade a guy who's injury prone, you choose. I like the idea to hold on to him because he's probably not going to get hurt again.
He is out for the rest of the season, and so the guy they didn't want to trade for whatever reason, whether that wasn't enough.
They don't have enough centers on the team. They only have two other centers on the roster, so they didn't have enough centers on the roster.
They drafted a center.
Oh, that's drafted. I'm an idiot.
Seventh pick in the draft.
That's right. Top 10 pick, right? And don't they got one on a max contract, too? Don't they have another center on a max contract?
Hey, can somebody find Jordan Schultz before I forget and ask him to look up how many second-round draft picks in the NBA drafts have scored double digits this season?
You're going with a Bronny take? Are we pivoting to Bronny here?
I just want to say Bronny had 12 last night. Look, they got bludgeoned by Giannis, but I just want Schultzy to look that up. Not even a spin. I don't even want to use the term spin. Like, there's just no way around saying the obvious.
When he had a healthy stretch, you should have traded him. I don't care what it was for.
He should have been traded in the offseason.
He should have been traded in the offseason. He should have been traded at the deadline because he was a good player for you at the start of the year. Everybody knows his ability.
What's the trade?
Him on this team made no sense.
What's the trade I tell you that they could have traded him for blank where you go, no?
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing. Get something out of him. He's going into the final year of his contract. He's having another arthroscopic knee surgery.
You would have thought 2 seconds may be available at the deadline, right? Or even
I would have done it for 2 seconds.
I would have, too.
They were holding out for a first-round pick, though.
Yeah.
Just like Eddie's been holding out for a management position for the last 10 years, right? You got to hold out. these are the kind of moves that I roll my eyes at. I just don't understand why... You're holding so firm on. We got a fist pumper over here. You guys taking it? Let's go, baby!
Let's go.
You had guys that were commodities.
Yeah.
And now, how's the offseason look? So he's got to go through surgery. Now you got a rehab process. Is somebody going to be willing to give you in the offseason what they would have given you at the deadline, not seeing him play? So now does he have to be back on the team at the start of next year in order to have a healthy run before you can move him? And then how long until you pull that plug?
Yeah.
Because there's the constant. This guy he plays 20 games and he needs another knee surgery every single year. That's who he's been.
Isn't he constantly, but isn't he always a player? How old is Robert Williams? Is he 29?
He's not that old.
No, he's not that old.
For the amount of surgeries he's had, he's 27.
27, thank
you. 27 years old.
So a 27-year-old with chronic leg problems, where we're all saying this, like everybody. My nephew doesn't watch the NBA. My nephew.
And he's like, what are we doing?
He's going to be 16. Does not watch the NBA.
He played 20 games this year. Last year was 6.
And even he is like.
He's always hurt, isn't he?
It's like, man, you're finding out about this tells me all I need to know. Everybody knows about Robert Williams, right? But isn't he always, even with the surgery or no surgery, isn't he always going to maybe get a second-round pick? So I guess what I'm asking is, should they have traded him? You and I agree 100%. I think most logical Blazer fans would say, yeah, should have dealt him, Bob. Knew this was going to happen. But also, he's 27. And again, yeah, he can't stay healthy. But isn't a team always going to be willing to say,
maybe,
here's a second rounder, we'll take the flyer on the guy, and if he doesn't play, then it's no real problems for us?
Yeah, I mean, maybe. Maybe this summer you can still deal him. I just wonder.
So is his trade value diminished is what I'm asking.
Here's what I'm just wondering if a team's willing to make that deal before they see him play. And I know you got to go through the physical process of a trade. You know, you got to go through physicals, and they got to check out the knee and the structure. And we just saw the Mark Williams deal get, scrapped at the deadline because his physicals didn't look good according to the Lakers.
Right.
That's my only question of now that there's another knee surgery. Is somebody clamoring at the idea of trading for him off of the third straight year he's had a season-ending knee surgery?
It was longer than that, but yeah.
3 years ago, it was last year in Boston, he played 35 games.
Yeah. He was good in Boston.
He was great in Boston.
He was a depoy type player.
Yes, last year was his first year in Portland. He played a total of 6 games before being shut down, and this year he made 20. He's been in Portland for 2 years. He's played 26 games. And so maybe you're right. Maybe it's just a second-round pick, and you could have got it at the deadline, and now you can still get it in the offseason. I would hope so. These are the ones where I look at it, and I I can't stand it, man.
It's the part of the franchise that I think we can all be honest about, whether you are excited about what's happening or bummed because of lottery stuff. And we'll get to the rebuild because there's an ESPN writer we've had on the show a couple times. I'd love to actually try to get him on for next week to talk about this piece he wrote. Basically asking, what are you guys doing out there?
And it's examples like this of why is Robert Williams still on the team when you could have gotten some draft capital and just moved on?
Let's talk about this. How the rebuild is going. They are flirting with the play-in. They're right within the grasp of it if they can. I mean, they're favored tonight. Did you know they're favored against the Nuggets?
Who is Denver not playing? Got to be everybody.
Jokic and Murray.
Yeah, they're both out tonight.
There's no chance they're playing and they're a favorite over the Nuggets.
And Phoenix has, by the way, who do they got? Let me pull it up real quick. Phoenix got a hard game tonight, too, I think.
They get Milwaukee on a back-to-back?
They get Cleveland at home tonight. So okay. They get Cleveland at home, and Portland is a favorite at home against Denver, to your point, because nobody's in the lineup. So that goes that way.
You could still lose to the Nuggets without Jokic and Murray. And Gordon was really good in their last game, but.
Yep.
Like, there's a chance you can pull a little bit of an—I know it's not an upset in the spread-wise, but we would look at that and say, oh, that's a good little win for them. They could win that game. So they're flirting with the play-in. How is the rebuild going? One ESPN national NBA voice ranked his top 11 rebuild processes going on in the NBA, and your Trailblazers were mentioned on this article, where they were ranked and what they said. We'll tell you next on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. It is a black screen edition of Dirt and Sprague here. Jake just left, too. Like, that was just the worst timing.
Just meandering around, making some bets.
Where'd you go, Jake? He actually said he's not a big bettor.
Really?
I was a little surprised, but he's going to Vegas, and he's going to watch The Dead and Company at the Sphere.
I saw him walk down here last night when I got down to the sports book as I was, you know, perusing and checking out the lay of the land after dinner last night, and he was cashing a ticket on Arkansas.
I wonder if we're coming through audio-wise on the feed. It's just like no video.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, there he is. Hey, he's coming back. I'm signaling.
Flag him down.
By the way, that Sam Cooke song is on my workout playlist. Thoughts of working out to that song.
Very weird. Very
really?
Weird. Yeah,
very weird.
You once complained about a workout...
The same thing?
I think I'd rather...
want your body... I know he's not. That's not the message of his song, but change is hopefully coming to the body.
I mean, you hope so, but also, if you keep working out, she's going to think your tractor's sexy, okay? So, a little bit of a hot take there.
Yeah, okay.
Now, I guess it depends on what kind of workout. Like, if I'm running, I could probably
heavy
listen
lifting.
To that. Heavy lifting, that's weird. That's really weird.
I have a mix of R&B, heavy
really
rock,
weird.
Rap. It's all over the place,
really
man. I work out to some weird music.
Yeah, if I'm on, like, a long-distance run, and I want one to just kind of put me into a zen mode, kind of forget what I'm doing, then I think it's applicable. But, yeah, heavy lifting, that's a little weird.
It looks like we're back up.
I think we're back up.
Okay.
We're
hot. Momentary...
Look, Jake's here, man. He's ready to go.
No big deal. See, this is why I love the tournament. Florida Gator fan.
Florida Gator fan's here, ready to go.
He's got his jersey on in Ridgefield, Washington, Oregon.
He's got his jersey on.
Or Washington State.
He's got a cocktail in his hand. He's just ready. He's got his ticket. He's got his bet stuff. And so, look, game starts in another 2 hours. You got to get ready to go.
We talked about Robert Williams being out for the rest of the year, which is no surprise. When's the last game we saw him? It's been a couple games now.
Oh, let me find that one out for you, Bob. That dude has been out. I feel like he was just not in the lineup for a minute. Nobody really said anything. And we're like, is he going to play again? And then randomly you get the announcement last night that, oh, by the way, he's out. He has not played since February 20th. So he's been out a month.
Jeez. Okay. So
his last game was a 110-102 loss at home to the Lakers.
So he's out for the year. He's getting knee surgery. He's got another leg issue. I follow all the local media. I think most people do a pretty good job of staying on the straight and narrow and not going one way or the other. I don't know how this is in any way. People that are just cool with this is we got a Kevin Durant Sonics jersey. That thing is so sweet.
It's a great throwback.
That's a
right
90s
there.
Sonics jersey, too. Oh, my God, that thing is beautiful.
That's a good look.
There's no positive way to talk about this. This is absolute devastation because it's clearly an asset. Everybody with no general manager experience is like, you got to trade this dude, man.
Yeah.
He ain't
going to
stay healthy. Hasn't stayed healthy at all. Tim Bontemps is a national NBA writer. We've had him on the show before. I'd love to try to get him on for next week to talk about this. He ranked 11 rebuilds in the National Basketball Association. Okay? This is anywhere from the Pistons, the Hawks, the Bulls, the Pellies.
All the bad teams in the NBA.
Basically all the bad teams in the NBA. No surprise, the number one team in the rebuilding process to him, the Spurs.
Yep.
This guy, De'Aaron Fox. Wemby will be back next year, reportedly, with no injury concern.
And maybe another top five pick to add to it this offseason.
Maybe another top five pick. And they didn't have to give up any real assets to go get De'Aaron Fox, in my opinion, because who cares about draft picks?
Yep.
And then after that, you got the Hornets, which I found very interesting. He put the Hornets at number two.
Yeah, I understand the groundwork being laid there. Like, there are nice pieces.
You got Miller, LaMelo, Mark Williams didn't get traded, and he's played pretty well since he came back for the Hornets.
Yeah, he's got an axe to grind.
And basically, they're in the running to Cooper Flagg, and if they get Cooper Flagg,
it's all,
it could change everything for them. So the Wizards are number three.
Because have one of the best draft odds, man.
Well, they do, and I think
and
that's,
this is a good draft.
Bub's been really good for them. Alex Saar is, I think I looked at it this morning because I tried to parlay a bunch of awards. I think he's second for Rookie of the Year behind Castle. He won't win it, but he's had a good year for being the pick he was.
Yeah.
And you go on the list and you start to go, okay, there's some bad teams on here. Where are we ranked? Of 11 teams, Tim Bontemp says your Portland Trailblazers are 10th out of 11 teams. Now, here's what he writes, okay? Since moving on from Dame, it's been difficult to discern the strategy for Portland, especially after their 21-61 season that kicked things off. They got a haul of draft picks and players back in the Lillard holiday deals with Tamani, and they also got DeAndre Ayton, and then they ended up working out Denny Avdia from this, who has played well, but was a win-now move, not a rebuilding one. Still having the likes of Ayton Grant, Robert Williams, and Ant on the roster is also hard to square with where this team is sitting, as is the fact that Blazers have a little cap flexibility for another season. Is it working? Portland winning a bunch of games over the past few weeks could be taken as a sign of things moving in the right direction, but by doing so, Portland has moved out of the top 10 spots in the draft lottery, likely preventing this group from adding another high-level caliber player. Estimated return to relevance, Portland established itself over the back half of the season as a legitimate sound defensive team, but it's going to take a lot more than that to climb up the West standings. Right now, it's unclear how the talent boost is going to arrive. The only team worse than us in the rebuilding process out of 11.
Yeah, who's worse?
The Chicago Bulls, who love to just basically sit in, we're a playing team, come get your tickets, because
they've been doing that forever.
We suck.
Yeah, I mean, he hit it on the head. This is what I've been arguing all year. I didn't understand coming into the season. I still don't understand the idea of holding on to certain veterans. If you have a lineup of Scoot, Shaden, Denny, two clinging for the majority of the year, and you're winning games at the clip that you're winning them, whatever. What are you going to do, right? I mean, the whole idea of tanking is not about purposefully losing games. And I know there's been a debate in the last week in the NBA about teams, sometimes against Portland, who play their guys until a certain minute mark in the game, and then they sit their guys down. Is it ethical? Is it unethical? Well, if they get Cooper Flagg, who cares about how ethical it was? They're doing it so they don't get fined by the league. I'm not advocating for that. The way that you tank properly in the NBA is that you have a young roster that's not ready to win at a high level, and you let those guys go out there and play. And if they prove you wrong, they prove you wrong. There's nothing you can do about it. But coming into the year, having some of the veterans that they have on their roster did not make sense. I'm glad to see other national reporters who are agreeing with it. And it's just, it's an idea of when you look at the cap space and where they're now either going to be drafting or potentially not drafting this summer, the odds of landing a guy who can be a difference maker for you are just almost non-existent, to be honest with you. And so this is who you are. What are you going to be next year? You're going to bring likely the same team back, maybe your head coach back. That takes out there now. Are you going to be a title? Like, how do you take that next step as a franchise? And that was the short-sighted miss that they had this year. And I know it's been fun for some Blazer fans who have been rooting for wins, and, hey, we finally got something to cheer for. And that's fine, but I think you got to have the long-term view in mind, and they just haven't had that this year.
It's all just so fascinating to me how you can rebuild. And I think the one thing that I've come back to this a couple seasons now, and I think I've kind of landed here. I said a few years ago, we're not built for this as a city. And I was watching the Michigan game, and it ended, and it was on Coin, our good friends at Coin.
Yeah.
And Adam Bjornsson was doing some post-game sports show. And he basically said, like, it might not be the I'm paraphrasing here, but he was like, it might not be the ideal way, but there's no doubting the vibes in this city when Portland is a feisty little contender. And I don't think he's wrong.
No, he's not wrong.
But I would also say that is kind of the problem with our city.
That's who we were for 10 years with Damian Lillard. We were a feisty little contender that had one random run because of the final game of the regular season.
I would argue this is a worse version of that, though. And, like, being excited about this, you can be excited about growth. And the one thing I've said is we're not built for this. And this season's kind of proving some of that true with watching the way some of the fans are reacting of, like, what? I just want to have fun. And I'm like, all right, yeah, I mean, I get it. I do. From a big picture standpoint of life, we all just want to have fun. It's just sports. But, like, it's also sports, and I want to win, and I want to be a team that's, like, looked at and said, oh, man, like, how cool would it be to be the team in the West? Like the Rockets. I don't know if the Rockets will win a first-round matchup or not.
No clue.
I don't want to play the Rockets.
Nope.
They're hyper-athletic. They got a lot of dogs on that team, and their coach is really good. I want to be the Rockets. Now, the 2 seed in the West, that's a bit much. But, like, if they fall to the 5 seed, it's no different to me. I still want to be the Rockets. And we're like, hey, we're 3 out of the play-in, and we're going to get our asses handed to us even if we make the playoffs by 20-plus points against the Thunder, because there's no chance. I would lay a huge amount here at this A Casino. They wouldn't win a game, and they wouldn't be within like a 10-point margin of a game against that Thunder team.
And on top of that, you would lose your first round
and
pick,
then you would
which
lose
is
pick.
Just an inexcusable error at the end of the season.
And I think what some people have not squared, and I don't mean this to like sound arrogant or braggadocious, because I don't know where the lottery balls are going to fall. But if they don't fall your way, I think what some people don't square enough is that a lot of teams lose and go through rebuilds. And most of them don't really get out of it. And this idea, and I said this last year, that you can't be the Pistons or the Wizards or the Hornets.
Kings did it for a long time.
The Kings. The idea that you won't and you're just this rebuilding thing is just going to take off. It is little margins that you don't make move-wise or pick-wise that you get that can separate whether you take that leap or not. And right now, the lottery odds are not in their favor. They've missed on trading some of their assets. It's just like there are things about this that I like, but there's a lot of other things that I'm like, I have no idea why somebody would be so overly confident that this rebuilding process is going the right way. What would you point to aside from Denny's contract's great, Scoot's taking a little bit of a step, and Tamani's a great defensive player? What would you really point to? Little flashes here and there. But not enough for me to rest on my laurels of saying, like, oh, Portland's rebuilding the right way. They're going to be the Houston Rockets in a year or two.
Next year they take a big jump. I've always equated it to, and look, this is something that I'm not great at considering my physique, but it is losing weight. It's dieting. It's like if you have an end goal in mind, it's not going to be fun. Everybody loves eating cheeseburgers and drinking beer and, you know, eating all sorts of crap food. But if you have an end goal in mind, you got to go through that to get there. And we just lose sight of that every time we go through one of these processes of instead of having the big picture. We did this the same year that we had Nurk fever, where we were heading for a top five pick. Could have been a landscape-changing thing for Damian Lillard in his era to get one of the guys from that draft. But instead, we got Nurkic. They got hot at the end of the year. We all got excited because they made an 8 seed. And then we got swept in the first round of the playoffs by the Golden State Warriors. And we were stuck without a position in order to take a big step. You need another star to take a big step. The only way you're ever going to get one in Portland is through the draft. And so losing your first-round pick would be a colossal error.
There's no way to spin that. That is a colossal mistake.
There is no positive to that. None at all. I don't care how diehard of a fan you are. Losing your first-round pick this year, you cannot afford it. And it should have been a top-five pick, but that ship has sailed, and now we see how the rest of the year goes.
We have a lot to get to in the next hour and a half of the show. Do we have the poll question up?
No, I'm putting it up right now. It's hard to put, like, because this change is going to come as a long song name. Yeah. So I got to think of how to put that with Sam Cooke. But I'll get it up during the break.
Okay, we'll put that poll question up. What's a better song to work out to, Jake? Just nod your head yes or thumbs up or thumbs down. Sam Cooke and A Change Gonna Come or She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy? Which one is a better workout song in your estimation?
Does he know She Thinks My Tractor's Sexy?
Which one?
Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke. You're a loser.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, she thinks my tractor's sexy. No way. A lot more to get into, and we're back with more Dirt and Spray live out at A&A for Fan Madness, the Stadium Sportsbook.
All right, welcome back in. 7:38. Happy Friday morning to you. We're live out here at A&A at the Sportsbook. Hope you're going to stop by at some point today. Say what's up. Put some bets in. Day two of the NCAA tournament is tipping off here in under 2 hours. So lots going on today. We're pumped to be back out here at A&A. I want to get your guys's input here in a couple of moments because there's a thing going on that I don't know a lot about, and I need to lean on my folks who follow this stuff and know how to talk about it. So that's coming up here in a moment. Did you see the official ask yesterday from the Portland Diamond Project to Oregon legislatures? They are asking for $800 million.
I did see that,
aid the construction of their stadium down at Zidell Yards.
It's $100 million less than the top estimated number of 9, so that was that. But, yeah, I did see this. You know, it's just good that it's been introduced as legislation, and hopefully they can pass it, get it going, and as we mentioned, Sam Cooke, change going to come. And we get another pro sports team to be angry and yell about at some point in the future. It's just like,
why do we have this guy in middle relief, man? Get him out of here. He sucks. Look at his ERA.
Why is this guy batting sixth? He's so bad against lefties.
This guy's a bomb, man. Look, the Oregonian caught a little heat yesterday because they had a headline that just read, Diamond Project wants $800 million from state for ballpark, which is technically true.
Yeah, okay.
I know. But
caught some heat for a headline. Read the freaking story.
Well, sure. I think that was the thing that people tried to say as well. Is it a misleading headline? Because they do want the money from the state, but there's no new taxes that are going to be paid by normal Oregonians on this stadium.
Tell me how you do that headline. You're a headline guy. Orem writes the piece. He follows up. The legislators have introduced this.
And there's not a short way to write the headline. There's not a short way to do it. I grant you that.
Yeah, thank you.
Portland Diamond Project seeks update to 2003 bill taxing MLB player salaries for ballpark money.
Yeah, you ran out of. We don't have enough.
I got enough characters there. That's under 40. That's under 40.
No, that's too long.
So, for those who don't remember, SB 110, the bonds are only issued if they get a team, if we get a team here in the area. Mm-hmm. And this was an existing thing that was passed, you know, 20 some years ago when they were hopeful to get the Montreal Expos, and it didn't happen. It just stayed on the books. But what has changed is, one, just the overall cost of everything, right? Cost of stadiums. But primarily, two, the salaries the players are earning. So that's the main reason they're looking for an update. Back then, it made sense to ask for, I think it was $150 million, if I'm not mistaken. Now they want the $800 million because player salaries, employee salaries, executive salaries, and all that have grown exponentially in the last 20 years. But it is important to remind people that no Oregonian will see new or additional taxes as a result of this. I believe the hearing, by the way, is coming up on Monday. So, look, I know this is pie in the sky. I saw a thing yesterday. I don't know if Swag might have seen this too, but do you know the NHL is like aggressively looking to expand?
Yeah, there's a bidder out in Houston, a billionaire that wants to bring the NHL to Houston.
Driving me nuts.
Phoenix might be back in the fold again to get another team.
Because that worked out so well the first time.
Let's put a team back there.
Let's put a team back in Atlanta because Atlanta always wholeheartedly supported their NHL team.
I did. I saw this, though, and I went,
God, it just...
We don't have a single person here.
Why can't we have nice things? And so this was it was like a double whammy of that reminder of like, that's right, we have somebody who owns the Moda Center currently who doesn't want to share the building, so they're not going to put an NHL team in there unless there's a sale that is imminent, which is probably not going to happen. And then you get the baseball story where they're going to have this hearing on Monday. But it would be a first big step. So I think it was introduced by, you know, a state senator, Mark Meek of Gladstone. He was the one that sponsored Senate Bill 110 on Thursday. And they're going to have, I think, the first hearing. And Portland Diamond Project's going to go in front of them on Monday in Salem. You get that pass, man, that is a big step in the right direction of showing Major League Baseball that we care. I'm just going to be really curious to see how it goes.
You will be taxed, by the way, soon because... Keith Wilson wants to maybe raise a tax for the transportation department.
We need a transportation tax.
I mean, we need to upgrade some things.
No,
it's
we don't.
Pretty dated and old.
What the hell?
And
our roads are fine. Give me a ballpark. I don't need potholes filled.
How do you get into the ballpark?
Look, I will happily drive over potholes for the next 10 years if you tell me I get a Major League Baseball stadium.
I'll trade
that off. Let the Burnside Bridge fall into the river. No, I don't care. Dude. Give me a Major League Baseball stadium.
Well, then you wouldn't be able to get to the game.
We got 37 other bridges. We're fine, all right? Go over the Tillicum. Ride your bike. Damn it, get some exercise.
All the bridges, the Burnside, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. It's just the first random one that popped up. I also think it needs major renovations, too. So hopefully it's a step in the right direction.
I think it's encouraging that at least going into this, it feels like politically and from a economics standpoint, everybody's aligned on this.
Yeah.
The next step is obviously passing this and, you know, going from there and seeing where it goes. I'm with you on the hockey thing. I'm not Mr. Hockey, but...
It would kill it in Portland, and we have a great arena for it. But it just there's no movement for it because we have an ownership group for the Blazers who just I don't think they're interested in sharing the venue.
Yeah, that's probably a big deal.
You would have to have somebody who owns the Blazers who is either A, looking to buy another team in another sport, which you see in some cities,
which they don't,
or somebody who is willing to say, yeah, go ahead, we'll share the venue with you 41 nights a year.
They're sharing it with the WNBA next year.
That they are.
So they're willing. They are willing.
But
to
it's not
it.
A competitive season. So that's the trade-off there. It's basketball. I think they think that basketball feeds into the NBA, and their season starts after the
NBA.
But
how many concerts could you lose with those home games?
Yeah, without a doubt. Season. Without a doubt, in the summer they would.
I don't know, man. It feels like it's kind of baseball for us, even though this building that the Blazers play in is kind of built perfectly for hockey.
Yeah.
It feels like it's kind of baseball or bust for us.
It does, and Monday will be a big step, so we'll see how that hearing goes. But it has been proposed an update to the old Senate Bill 5 passed in 2003, which approved $150 million in bonds if Portland lands a team. Now it's Senate Bill 110. They're asking for $800 million again if Portland lands a team. So that's coming up on Monday. I'm going to ask you guys for some advice. I need some knowledge on this subject. What do I need to know? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland. Portland, Vancouver, or online at crunch.com. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We'll get into the Ducks versus Liberty Bibberty. Got to do a pregame show of that one coming up tonight, only 12 hours ahead of time. That won't tip off till probably 7:30 tonight. Last game of the day on a Friday. So we'll get to that a little bit. A couple other notes of the weekend and get you set for your Friday, day two of the NCAA tournament.
I have a great college football stat I want to get to.
Ooh, I can't wait for a good college football stat.
It might be the best stat in the sport.
I want to go somewhere here, though. Look, I'm a fair and balanced sports journalist. That's what they call me on this show. So I report the facts. I shoot the arrow straight. That's all I do.
Dirt Hannity.
That's what they call me. Dirt Hannity, Dirt Bear, either way.
By the way, Drake Johnson's going to be a name.
Drake Johnson's here. He's here.
Actually sounds kind of good.
I really preferred Montana Johnson, if we're going to be honest.
Oh, no, I know you did.
Montana Johnson would have been better.
Grizzly?
I just report the news. I asked the question the other day, are the Huskies good at any sport? And it was like, oh, the Lady Huskies are in the tournament. But it's like, well, they're not really in the tournament. They're in the play-in for the tournament for the first time in 7 years.
You're going to do it.
They lost to I'm just reporting the facts. They lost to Columbia last night, 63-60, after their baseball team lost to Pacific Lutheran earlier in the week. So just reporting the facts here. Reporting the facts. Washington not in the tournament. Look, see you later.
I clowned Swag pretty much, what would you say, Swag, 80% of the season in college basketball, and then the Pilots beat my Beavers.
Yeah, they did.
And then I won't.
They damn near beat my Ducks, too.
Well, they didn't, and that's why I made fun of them.
Should have.
But that, now I'm done making fun of the Pilots because the Pilots are better than the Beavers. They beat them. I don't think I want to say anything about Washington because my team plays them at Hillsboro Hop Stadium, and I just don't want them to lose to the Washington Huskies, who just lost to Pacific Lutheran.
Yeah, please don't let that happen.
Why do you got to do that?
Look, I'm just reporting the facts. Fair and balanced here. That's what we do on the show. I did want to get your thoughts on, I mean, you guys know, look, last year I got the fever. I got the Caitlin Clark fever. I was all up in it watching the tournament, excited, and they went on a deep run. Everybody was captivated as a country. The numbers haven't quite been the same, but I'm really curious to see how the tournament plays out. By the way, just a quick local update for you. Oregon plays today against Vanderbilt. That game is at 2:30 on ESPN News.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch Oregon play their first tournament game, you can today at 2:30. And then the Lady Beavs are in action tomorrow. They are at North Carolina. They're a 20.5-point underdog, and that game is at 1:30 on ESPN News. So you get Ducks today, Beavers tomorrow. You guys have actually watched and followed it. What do we make of the women's tournament, the excitement around it? Is it as easy as the stars are going to make it? Do we like an upset? How are we feeling about the lady tournament?
No, I want to be fully transparent on this. I would say the Caitlin Clark thing even hit my house this year. We're pretty heavy into girls basketball. My daughters are playing now. I was coaching my oldest for a couple years here. Like, we love the sport in our house.
Yeah.
But I would tell you at the start of the season, we weren't watching it as much. And I remember noting that to my – I was like, Beckers is on right now. You're not watching it? She went, oh. And she likes Paige Beckers. We went and watched Juju against Paige last year at the Moda Center. It's a great game. It even hit us. And so, like, I'm not surprised to see it hit a lot of people. Now, I still thought the viewership numbers were pretty good.
Pretty strong, yeah.
It's still something, like, you're encouraged about building with.
Yes.
And it's not going to turn overnight and just go completely one way. So you're going to have a little ebbs and flows with it. I guess I'm just surprised because there's a lot of really good players in this tournament. Seeing USC being able to do it, I know USC is a hated team by most in this region. Juju is just so fantastic. And you could have an Elite Eight game with Juju Watkins and Paige Beckers again, which I'd love that rematch. Notre Dame kind of fizzled at the end of the year. They were a team that pretty handily beat USC early in the non-conference season. I like them to go pretty far. South Carolina is just a wagon.
Just
they have like nine straight conference titles.
Yeah.
I think it's, what is it, nine? I can't remember what it was. Conference titles or appearances, at least in the Elite Eight. Like, what Dawn Staley has created is just a monster. Oregon and Oregon State women's, I don't know how far Oregon's going to go. I haven't followed Oregon's women's basketball that closely.
They're an underdog today.
Oregon State's season was not very good. They just caught a heater, and Ruick's a good coach. They could play each other in the Elite Eight.
They could.
Because your team's in Durham, and Oregon State is in Chapel Hill. And so if they could get past Duke and UNC, actually, they would play where would they play? Oregon. I just had it here. Give me a second. Oh, they'd play in Birmingham.
Okay.
So, I mean, we could have a little bit of a Civil War Elite Eight if they
could pull
upsets.
Be a hell of an Elite Eight, wouldn't it?
I mean, you know.
To find our way there. Oregon State is a 14 seed. A 14 seed has never beaten a 3 seed in the women's tournament, so they would make history if they
did it. No team in women's college basketball history has won the national championship outside of a 3 seed.
It tells you all you need to know.
So, but yeah, it does. But like, also, I'm asking you sincerely.
It's great to know that the Stars will be there in the Elite Eight. You know that they're going to be around.
If I could give you eight teams in this tournament, whether you've watched them closely or not, if people are honest with themselves, they're naming the teams that they either really love to hate or they really love. And so, like, it may not be everybody's favorite sport, but women's college basketball is almost a guarantee that they're going to give you the eight best programs in that sport.
You're going to have the Stars around later in the tournament. Their side gets started today. Oregon again playing at 2:30. Swag, anything you want to add to that? Any thoughts you have? Because I know you follow women's college hoops, and you were calling the Pilots here recently.
Yeah, a little bit. I am expecting, I think Gino's pondering when he's going to step aside at UConn. They're miffed. They're a two seed. And I really think they are going to go on an FU tour this year and might add one more title. If they win a title, I think Gino might step aside.
You like them over USC then?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I think they play at such a fast, furious pace that you don't see a lot of teams in the women's game able to execute at that level and be that efficient. And if they're all healthy, I think they're a real problem for a lot of schools.
I did take a flyer on a team to get to the Final Four out of, you know, usually it's not, again, anything, what is it, above or below, whatever.
Right, however you want to define
the three
it. Top three seeds are the only ones that make it.
Yeah. I have a team that was really pissed they were a five seed, and I'm just taking them on the anger. And I saw them play a little bit early in the season. Ole Miss. Taking a flyer on Ole Miss. They were a five seed.
Well, if you like your Beavs to pull off an upset to be the first 14 seed to ever do it, you get some good odds on that at a kiosk right over here because we're out at A&A and you can go gamble on that. And as the ladies tournament officially begins, they had their play-ins the last 2 days. They officially tip off everything this morning as well. The men's get going here right after 9. The ladies tournament will be on before we're off the air. Their first game is up at 8:30 on ESPN2. So Ducks today, Beavers tomorrow. We'll see how long they can last in the ladies tournament. Crunch Time brought to you by our good friends at Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver online at crunch.com. Let's go to the final hour of the show as we get closer to day two of the madness. I want to talk a little Oregon Liberty. Sprague's got a random college football fact that I'm excited for. We will Sprague the line today. Look, we're at a casino. We got our tickets.
We will Sprague the line.
Let's Sprague the line today, man. It's a Friday. Let's do
How
it. Let's
that?
Have some fun. So get your fake sponsors in to the fan text line 503-864-6326. We treat you right before during and after the text.
Very quickly, get the Sprague and Line sponsors in, but also favorite bet of the day.
Oh, let's go.
I might ride listener picks.
Okay.
I just lost in blackjack over the commercial break.
Yeah,
one hand, I was done.
I got a two and an eight. You walked over there and then quickly walked back over
to
the set.
Got a three when I hit.
We're live out at A&A. We're having a blast. One more hour to go on our Friday, and it starts next on The Fam.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.